I'm going to spend the next two Sundays, we've been talking about this. I know Pastor Greg's been teaching on Revelation and the revelation in God's Word. And one of the things that will change your thinking, change how you think, is revelation. You know, think about this. When you got a revelation in the Word of God, did that change how you approached things in life? Sure it does. It changes, you know, just like I shared something with you. You went, ah, oh, let me get a credit card. That's a revelation to you, right? Maybe it was. But things, spiritual revelation, you know, not natural, but spiritual revelation, when it comes, will change how we think about things in life, how we approach our choices. And so we've been talking about right and wrong thinking. And so I want to spend the next couple of weeks just talking about this again. If you will, turn to Romans chapter 12. And we're going to look at verse 2. And I want to touch on this a little bit and expand where we were the last time. But I find, this is me and me personally, that as my thinking changed, as I spent more time in the Word of God, however much time you spend, that little bit or a lot will change you, because the entrance of His Word, Psalm 119:130, the entrance of His Word, or the revelation of God's Word, bringeth light. What does that mean? It brings revelation. It changes how you think. It changes how you think about God. It changes you. Makes you think different. And so I want us to look at this a little bit. I find this is probably the biggest challenge. Think about this. When you became a Christian, your spirit was changed. We are a tripart or three-part. We have a soul. We are a spirit. God is a spirit. We're made in His image and likeness. So we're a spirit. We have a soul. We contact this intellectual realm that we're in. We have a soul. We think. But we also live in this body. But the real person, the real you, is a spirit. When you die and leave this earth, your body stays here. It decays. But your spirit and soul are with God. And so the real you is a spirit. And that's the person that got changed. That's the person that was made brand new. But when we became brand new, when we became a brand new person in Christ, we still had some thinking that needed to be adjusted or corrected. We still thought the way we may have thought. Now, the new birth affected us somewhat in our thinking, but to be totally transformed, what the Scripture is talking about here in Romans 12:2, it takes meditating on the Word of God. It takes thinking about God's words. God's thoughts are what changes our thinking. So we're going to pray a brief prayer here, and let's join together in faith. I also want to lift up our government, because it said, first of all, that we lift up men everywhere, and we lift up kings and authorities, all those who are in authority, so that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life. So I never want to forget, or neither should we, forget about lifting up those who are in authority. Didn't say whether you like them or not. It didn't say whether you like them or even agreed. God doesn't care whether you agree. He gave us a principle in the Word of God that we need to pray for them and lift them up so that they make godly choices, so that they benefit us. Father God, we thank You for this moment in time that we have. We thank You. And we come expecting to understand and get additional insight in Your Word. We thank You, Holy Spirit, for being here, not only in us, but You are here present, and You are the teacher of the church. And we expect and we ask that You unfold and reveal the word that we hear to us so that we can understand it. that light enters into our hearts and our soul. And Father, we lift up this government. We lift it up and we thank you for the president and the vice president. We thank you for the secretary of state. We thank you, Father, for all the congressmen and senators. And Father, we ask that you give them wisdom on how to rule the affairs of this government. And Satan, we remind you, according to the word of God, it is written, what things soever you bind on earth or forbid on earth is forbidden in heaven. We have heaven's backing, we remind you. And whatever you allow on this earth, heaven allows. So we remind you to be still, and we command you to stop influencing this government in your ways. We bind you in the name of Jesus and command you to be still and quiet. And Father, we ask for angelic hosts and angels to be released into our government and to influence the thinking of those in authority. And we command it to be so. And we thank you, Father, and remind you that we are expecting a change for the better in our government. We speak and say that righteousness is exalted in this nation and it will bless this nation in Jesus' name. And we thank you for it and we thank you today for this time we have together in fellowship around the Word of God in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Romans 12:2. I'm going to read from the King James and then the New Living Translation, so whatever one you have. I'm going to read the King James first. It says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye or you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, when we look at the word conformed, you know, put it in today's example, it just means to conform oneself or to be fashioned like something or conform to something. You know, a lot of people who like style or they like dress or they like shoes or jackets or dresses or whatever it is, sometimes people will say, I'm wearing this or I'm wearing this label, right? You've conformed to something. And so when we've used this example before. Millions and millions, or you probably say billions of dollars, are spent on marketing to do what? Influence you in your thinking to buy it, sell it, eat it, own it, drive it, whatever it is. They want to influence you to think you need it. Right? That's just the truth. So they want to conform your thinking that you got to have it. You got to eat it. You look at something, I got to get me that. I'm hungry for that, right? Whatever it is. And so I'm not saying that you don't do that, but you see the influence of it. Cuz we all do it. I got to get that. Well, why? Cuz you saw a commercial. And so that's just the truth of the matter, right? And so I'm not saying that that's bad, but just be careful. Be led as to whether you should have it, own it, eat it, buy it, drive it, because you can be broke. And so that's just the bottom line. You want to be not conformed to this world. What does the scripture say in Romans? It says those that are the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. So if God's leading, he's going to lead you into good things. He's going to lead you to have the good of this land, right? If you're good and what does the scripture say? It says if you are obedient, willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. And so if we're following after him, we'll eat the good of the land. But don't just go get it because you saw a commercial. Don't be conformed to this world. That's what it's saying. Don't be fashioned like it. What does that really mean? It doesn't mean that we can't own and drive and do those things. It just means don't think like them. What does that mean? I'm getting to be such an... Oh, boy. No, that doesn't mean that. Don't think like that. You know, I'm getting to be a certain age. You know what happens? No, I don't. Tell me. What happens? Yeah, you bought in. Right? I don't seem to remember Joshua saying that. And think about what he had to be around, all that unbelief. He didn't change his testimony, right? He didn't change how he thought or what he said. And so that's really what we're saying here. We want to make sure that we're not conformed to the world's way of thinking. We're in this world, but we want to be led by God. We have a new covenant. I'm a brand new person. Where? In Christ. And my what? My thinking's got to change because I've been in this world for a while. And so you're going to think a certain way. You're going to have certain habits. You're going to have certain, you know, what we call idiosyncrasies about certain things. You're going to think about things a certain way. And you need to do what? You need to find out what God says. That's why we go to his word and find out his thoughts, how he thinks about things. Because, what does the scripture say in 2nd? It says it in 2 Corinthians 4:4. He says, the God of this world, who is that? That's your adversary, the devil. The God of this world has blinded the minds of them that are lost. Well, we're not lost. We've been delivered from the power of darkness. We're not under his rulership anymore. We're not blinded by him anymore. We've been translated and brought into the kingdom of light. Yeah. Amen. So we're not to conform, we're to be transformed. And that word prove, you know, sometimes we read the scriptures and sometimes we need to just think about them a little bit. If you prove something, you know, you could say, well, I heard the food's good over here. I'm just going to go over there and do what? Prove it. Right? You test it. You test the validity of something or the genuineness of something. That's what that really means. You're proving. But how did you get to the place of proving? It said your mind was being transformed so that you prove what is that good and acceptable and will of God. If you're not even interested in the things of God, it's foolishness to them that are lost. So when people think it's foolishness, why would they even test something? Why would they even prove something? They won't. But we who love God and love his word and have been changed and are changed from glory to glory, we see things in the word of God and we say, you know what? I'm going to do that. I'm going to test that. I'm going to prove that. And I'm going to reach out in faith and take it for me. Right? That's proving the word of God. You're not, sometimes we read proving doesn't mean I'm going to see if it happens. No, when you're in faith, you know it's mine. I'm taking that. That's what that means. The New Living Translation, it says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So we'll be able to do what? Discern the thoughts of God. And this is what we were sharing in some other lessons, that when we start looking at the word of God, it's really God's thoughts. You can't see his thoughts. Now, we have his thoughts in the written word of God, but you can't see a thought. You can't touch a thought. You can't, but you can see the effects of a thought, which is what Jesus said. He said, you can't see the wind, but you can see the effects of the wind. So you can see, you can't see a thought. That's why it's so vital and important that we are sensitive to what we read, what we watch, what we listen to. Because when you think about it, you're listening to the effects of somebody's thoughts who decided to pen those words and sing it. You're reading a book of someone's intentions to pen their heart. And the same thing with a movie. So when we touch things, who inspired that person to do that? That inspiration is spiritual. It's either God or the devil. And so when we touch things in this natural realm, we're touching something that was inspired spiritually. And you need to be conscious of that, because when you touch it with your eyes and your ears, you touch things that were spiritual. So what do we mean by that? You watch a whole bunch of stuff that's fear-based. And so what happens is what? You can become fearful. And you keep doing that long enough, and you'll have a fear mentality. You'll have a fear that's gotten inside of you from touching something that was inspired by fear, right? To affect people. And God doesn't do that. He said, I've not given you a what? So it didn't come from God. He's a spirit. So who inspired the fear? Wasn't God. And so when we touch things, when we read it, and you get all, oh my God, I can't watch that, I'm so afraid. Why? Turn it off. Don't watch it. That's easy. Get full of faith. Touch those things that do what? Inspire you to walk in faith. This is really what we're saying. Just look at this particular scripture. You can go over there. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 11. 1 Corinthians 13 and 11. It says, when I was a child, I spake as a child. This whole chapter is talking about the love of God. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 11. It says, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I did what? I thought as a child. But when I became a man, that just means when you grew up, whether you're a man or a woman, when I grew up, I did what? I put away childish things. So that just means that when there was an understanding and you grew up and revelation came in certain areas, you grew up and you put away childish things, childish thoughts, childish speech, childish actions, and you were walking in the love of God, right? Now, I want to land over on something, and I don't want to... Let's take a quick look here at Philippians chapter 4. Just going to touch on this real quick. Philippians chapter 4. And God is sharing here with Paul through revelation here, the revelation of his word. Philippians 4, 6, 7, and 8. He tells us what we should think on and what we shouldn't think on. And he says here, be careful. I'm reading from the King James. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, not just some things, in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And what? When you do that, verse 7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. It means that's beyond your human ability to understand, shall keep your what? Your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, do what? Think on these things. So he's really telling us here, if it doesn't fall into this category here, don't think on it. Don't even think on it. Some translations I wrote down here, it says in verse 6, it says, stop worrying about even one thing. Amen. One thing. It says, entertain no worry, but under all circumstances, let your petitions be made known before God. New American Bible, it says, dismiss all anxiety from your minds. You know, so that just means when anxiety and worry about anything comes into your mind, you automatically know here, it didn't come from God. And what does it say? Dismiss it. Now, that's going to take some discipline because, hey, we all have thoughts. I do. We all have thoughts. You have an imagination. You have thoughts. You know, Brother Hagin used to say it this way. He said, you can't stop a bird from flying over your head, but you can sure stop it from building a nest. It's just a simple way of saying, don't let thoughts stay and build a nest. That's all. That's all that's really saying. You know, thoughts are going to come to every one of us. Thoughts about our future, thoughts about things that are going on, thoughts. And if you keep meditating on them, what does it say? Okay, was that a good report? No, don't think about it. Was that lovely? No. Was that just? No. Was it pure? No. Don't think on it. That's right. And this is usually the response you get, yeah, but you don't understand. Okay, so then you must be then saying, because this is what we end up going after here. If you have a low estimation of the word of God, then you have a low estimation of your covenant. You have a low estimation of you, who you really are. Because God said, and the other thing we can say is, if God said it, what does Titus say? I cannot lie. He says, I don't lie. James 1:17 says he's without variableness or shadow of turning. So now when you question the word of God and the authenticity of it, you're calling God a liar. Yes. Ultimately, that's what we're really doing. We're really saying, I understand, God, I understand that's what you said, but you don't understand my situation. Like he doesn't. Because remember, how does one, what does Hebrews 11:6 say? It says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh unto God must do what? Believe that he is, and what? And he is what? He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. How do we seek him? We seek him through his word. His word are his thoughts. And so, how do we activate the power of God? What does the scripture say in Romans 1:16 and 17? It says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it, the gospel, is the power of God unto salvation. And what? Therein is the righteousness of God revealed. So when we begin to take God at his word, didn't say it was going to be easy, because this flesh will fight you. This flesh will, you know, will try to fight you every step of the way. But the power of God is in the word of God. This is where the transformation takes place. I'm deciding, I'm going to change, and I'm not going to do that. And so when I do that, it doesn't mean that I don't feel like doing it. It doesn't mean like I don't feel like giving up and quitting. It doesn't mean like I don't feel like doing whatever it is that's negative. But it means that I'm choosing to believe God. And when I do that, it does what? It activates the word of God, the power of God in me to do that which I can't. That which I don't want to do, it empowers me to do. Right? That's exactly what that's doing. The power of God goes into operation in me to make me want to do what I don't want to do. That's what it does. The power of God in the word. But you've got to do what? You've got to say, I'm going to do this. And you've got to fight it just as hard as your flesh is fighting. You've got to say, no, I'm going to change. And it takes a constant affirmation. This is what the scripture says in Philemon. It says the communication of what? Your faith. Acknowledging all the good things that are in you. So you've got to acknowledge what has been done in you. You've got to say, I'm a new creature in Christ. I think like you, even when you don't. You've got to begin to say, I thank you, Lord. I thank you that I have your thoughts. I thank you that you're giving me a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. I thank you that I'm seeing into the things in your word. I thank you that the eyes of my understanding are being enlightened. You just get into a habit of doing those things. And then when you're riding along in your car, instead of listening to the radio and some nonsense, I'm not saying that you shouldn't, but know when to turn it off. Just go click, turn it off. And begin to stir your heart up in the things of God, and you'll begin to see things change in our lives. That's just the way it is. And here's the other thing. What's a key indicator to know you're not thinking on the right things? You don't have peace. Because that's what it said. It says, if we are not careful for things, in other words, if we're not anxious, he said, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keeps your hearts and minds. So when you're thinking on things and you're unsettled and you're just in a turmoil over something, that's a good indicator right there. I'm not thinking on that. When I get all wound up, we do that in the office where I am. We start thinking about something comes across your desk, and you're all wired up over it, and you go, you know what? I'm going to put this over in God's hands because this is not flowing for me here. You've got to make some choices in life, whether it's personal, in your job, business, family. When you are not at peace about something, you need to stop thinking about it. What does it say? It doesn't mean that you're not concerned. I'm not saying that. It says here, be careful for nothing but what? But in everything by what? Prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. It doesn't mean you're not concerned. I'm just not going to think and meditate on it and try to figure out how it's going to, I can't fix this. He's the only one that can fix this. So I've got to ask him to get involved. That's really what we're talking about here. Don't get fretful about things and just sit there and just stew over it. No, what does it say? Ask God. Trust in the Lord. Let's look at that. Go over there in a minute. Take a look at that. Proverbs 3:5. Let's take a look. Proverbs 3:5. I remember one time I was leaving the church, leaving the office, and something had been, you know, as I say, weighing on me. And I'm going home, and the Holy Spirit just said one thing. He said, what did I say? Oh, man, I had a jig home. I danced home because it was weighing on me. On my mind, it was weighing, and I'm thinking about this. And he said, but what did I say? And man, I'm telling you, I did a skip all the way home. It lifted my spirit because he had to remind me, but what did I say? What did I say about that? And that's what we have to do when we get weighed down. I'm not saying that those thoughts don't come, and not say that we're not just quick to let them go, because I wasn't in that such setting. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and what? Lean not unto thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him. That's just exactly what we got done reading here in Philippians. Be careful for nothing, but in everything. Ask him, prayer, supplication, giving of thanks. This says here, lean not to your own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. That means he's concerned about you. He's concerned about those things that bother you and confront you, right? He's concerned. He's given us the solution. The New Living, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Don't depend on it. I like this. The Good News Translation says, never rely on what you think you know. Huh. All you got to do is get in a conversation with something. I know what to do. Really? You know what you can see and know. That's all you know. You don't know 5 years from now. You can march down that road and hit a road wall and 5 years from now. You didn't know. Never rely on what you think you know. The Passion Translation says, do not rely on your own opinions. Boy, we all got an opinion. Don't rely on it. Ask God. Don't worry about things. Now let's take a look at this. I want us to go over here. Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This is a familiar scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, 18, 19. And let's take a look at this. This is, to me, key when it comes to changing our thinking. Because sometimes we need to go back and look at who we really are. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new, say new, new creature. That's what the King James says. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Verse 21, for he hath made him to be sin. Him who? Jesus. To be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
Hallelujah.
So I am, you are the righteousness of God in Christ. What does that mean? That means you have now been made right with God. What does that mean? That means you now have access to God. You have access to all of the blessings of God. You have access to that. So when you say, well, I prayed and I'm not sure he really heard me. Well, if you're right with God, if you've been made his righteousness, that means you do have access and he does hear you. That means you have access to God. Now this word new, when it says new creature, it means new in quality and kind. That's what that Greek word means. It means new in quality. What does that mean? My spirit's been changed. It's been changed. I'm not the same anymore. I'm a brand new, you know, I've told you this story. When I was growing, when I accepted Christ, prior to that, man, I had a mouth. My vocabulary was four letters. That was it. My adjectives, nouns, verbs, everything was dot, 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 dot. Well, you could say I had a mouth like a sailor. Everything. I work construction and you pick up. I didn't talk that way at home because I would have had my mouth rearranged. Or did. One or the other. I'm serious. I never heard a curse word in my house growing up. I never heard my parents swear. Even when they got upset, never cursed. So it was unheard of for me to curse, but this is why when we talk about your associations, I was around people in construction that's all they did. And you picked that up, and it becomes a habit. And you start cursing it. You just curse everything. Everything. And you don't even think about it. And so I remember after I got saved, I was at this little Assembly of God church, accepted Christ, and man, my insides were burning. I said, what the heck happened to me? And I went home and I was working on my sports car and I'm up underneath there with a wrench and I'm doing something and I went, boom, and I hit my hand and I skinned it and no curse words came out. I'm serious. I'm laying on the ground and I said, I did. I just sat there and went, what happened? Nothing came out because it was so normal for me to just curse that no curse came out. And so it began to let me know I was brand new. That darkness that was there got removed. See, it got removed. And so that's what we're talking about, that you're brand new in quality and kind. Brand new. But my mind wasn't. I had some thoughts that needed to be fixed, like we all do and still need to, right? My spirit was changed. I love God now, but now I still, because I've been in this world for so long, it's been adjusted to the way the world thinks. And I needed now to find out, how does God think? What does he think about me? What does my covenant say about me? And so we live in this world because we're so sense-oriented. If I saw something or felt something, or, you know, you know, and you read God, now you're saying, yeah, but, and there is no but. It's what God said. And so you got to go with God's word. And that was the struggle, right? And for us, it remains a struggle sometimes. It gets easier because what? As the word becomes bigger in you, now those things that become a roadblock, you just go, go away. So we're a new person in Christ. Listen to these are some. I like these two translations. The Wade, Wade, it says the original conditions have passed away; they have been replaced by new conditions. I'm a brand new person. This is another translation, the Dean, D-E-A-N-E. It says, and the true Christian is not merely a man altered, but a man remade. Hallelujah. See, I'm remade.
Yes.
I'm brand new. Remade. I'm not altered. I wasn't altered. I was made brand new. I'm brand new in quality and kind. I'm not altered. I'm remade. Right? The Living Bible, it says that he becomes a brand new person inside. This is what the Living Bible says, right? He's not the same anymore. See? A new life has begun. And so we look at this in the Passion Translation in verse 21. It says, for God made the only one who did not know sin, he's talking about Jesus, to become sin for us, so that we who did not know righteousness might become the righteousness of God through our union with him.
Thank you, Lord.
So we've made this statement. We've been making this on Friday nights. You don't grow in righteousness. You don't grow in righteousness. You are righteous.
Yes.
You were made the righteousness of God in him, in Christ. So you don't grow in that. You grow in your knowledge of it and your faith in righteousness of who you've become, but you are what you are. Amen. You don't grow in that. If you're a son, you don't grow to be a son or grow into it. You are a son.
Gift.
Or a daughter. You are that.
Yeah.
And that's the same thing. You don't grow in righteousness. You grow in your what? Your understanding and knowledge and faith in it. That's where you grow. So when our minds become transformed, when we begin to, what is that word, when it says that we've been transformed, think about this, and most who own homes or anything, you don't like your style in your home, your kitchen, your living room, your furniture, you do what? You renovate it. You go in, you say, I don't like that. You know, some folks, they start pulling the wallpaper off or whatever they do, right? I don't like that. We're going to renovate and fix, right? So you take your home, and now it looks like something different. That's what happens to your mind.
Yes.
Now it's different. It doesn't think the same. You start thinking like God thinks.
Hallelujah.
That's why when people say, when you say, you can think like God, and you just go, how is that possible? This says right here, you can have the mind of Christ,
thank you, Lord,
and you can begin to prove his word.
Yes.
How does that happen? It comes through this transformation in our thinking by the word of God.
Yes.
And it's a lifelong thing, but how does one activate it? You've got to just not just say, oh, I just hope it just fall on me. No, you've got to first read the word of God, and then you've got to do what? You've got to begin to affirm, which is what the scripture says. You've got to speak and begin to say, how do the things of God activated? By faith. So when your thinking is not what you think it should be, you need to say, thank you, Lord, I have your thoughts in this. I believe my mind is being transformed. I say that I think like you, even when you don't. You begin to speak by faith those things that you desire. That's the way it comes. That's why everything that we've taken principles, when you hear us make confessions over things that we do here in the ministry, we make an affirmation of those things that God has either given us or he's shown us in the Word of God. We make an affirmation of it. So our minds, if we've been made the righteousness of God in Christ, then when my mind begins to be transformed, then I have what? You could say I have a righteousness consciousness, not a sin consciousness, right? What does the scripture say? It says, therefore, if we're in Christ, Romans chapter 8, what does it say? It says, Therefore now what? No condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So that means I'm thinking like God.
Hallelujah.
And I have a righteousness consciousness. What does that mean? When I'm walking, I'm thinking, okay, God, you're working in my behalf. I'm thinking like you. I'm right with you. I have fellowship with you. If you don't, just fix it. Ask him to forgive you. This isn't about your feelings and what you feel like, or you feel like, I don't think I'm right with God. God said you are. I remember it was so poignant. Brother Hagin said one time when Jesus appeared to him, bodily, he appeared to him, and Brother Hagin said he went down on his knees, and he was saying, oh God, I'm not worthy to look at you. And he said, this is what Jesus said, get up, stand up, and look at me. He said, you are worthy.
Yes.
And he said it with boldness to him.
Yes.
He said, get up, you are worthy.
Yes.
See, this isn't about what we think. It's God's thoughts. He's made us his righteousness.
Yes, we're made.
So that means you are worthy to approach him. You're worthy to ask him and demand of him things that he's promised. You are worthy.
Yes.
And when we get our minds changed, then we have that kind of consciousness. That I'm not just this worm crawling into God asking him, please help me for some crumbs. No.
Amen.
Not at all.
Amen.
And this is the importance that when things come and hit us in life, we don't think God's interested. Yes, he is. See. And this is why our minds need to be renewed and changed. Let's go over here quickly for a few minutes here. Let's go over to Ephesians 1. I just want to look at a few scriptures before we close here. Ephesians chapter 1, and look at verse 16. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 16 and 17. This is Paul, his prayer. He says, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Listen to this particular translation. I like this. This is called the Distilled Translation. D-I-S-T-I-L-L-E-D. Distilled. In verse 16, it says, I pray that you new Christians will understand the mighty position with Christ, which your congregations occupy. So Paul was saying, you have a mighty position in Christ. You have a mighty position in him. See, you need to have that kind of thinking. You need to understand that Christ is in me now. He lives in me. He's changed me. And I have access to God. Stop worrying. Don't worry about one thing. Doesn't mean you're not concerned. But you say, I'm not going to concern myself about this, even though I may be concerned. Because I can't fix this. Ephesians, look at verse 10 in chapter 2. Familiar scripture, it says, we are his workmanship created in what? Christ Jesus unto what? Good works. So he has redeemed us to do some good works. We're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Amen. So he's ordained that we should walk in these good works. Yes. Now let's look at Ephesians chapter 4. We're right there. Go over to chapter 4 and look at verse 23 and 24. 23 and 24. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23 and 24, it says, and be renewed, see, this is what we're talking about, having our minds transformed, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And verse 24, and that you put on the new man. See, I've become a new man, but now Paul is saying, put him on.
Yes.
Put on this new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So we have something to do. He did his part. He created us into a brand new person. But now he's saying, put on this new man. How are you going to do that? Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And put him on. The Amplified and says, and be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude. Listen to these two translations. This is the Living Bible. In verse 23 of Ephesians 4, it says, now your attitudes and thoughts must all be constantly changing for the better. Oh boy, that's powerful. If your thoughts and attitudes are not changing for the better, then you're not putting on the new man. You're not having your minds renewed and changed. They have to constantly be changing for the better. Listen to this. This is the Passion Translation. In verse 23, it says, now it's time to be made new by every revelation that's been given to you. This is what we were talking. Transformation comes about through the revelation of God's word. He's saying here, when we go back and you look at it in the King James, it says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And this translation saying here that we're made brand new by every revelation that's been given to you. And how does that come about? That comes about by feeding on God's word, meditating on it, which is what Joshua 1:8 says. Don't let this book of the law depart out of thy mouth, but you keep it therein. Meditate on it. Act upon it, and it'll change your ways. So this process, if you're not changing, if you're not constantly changing for the better, that's your attitudes, your thoughts about things. It's the word of God that will begin for us to see ourselves as God sees us. Yes. And this is what we're trying to do. Amen. What did he say? He said, I've come that they may have life. Amen. And have it more abundantly. Yes. What does the other scripture say? The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. So he delights in us. He has his thoughts. His thoughts are much different than our thoughts. That's why we need to look into the Word of God to see how he thinks about us. So this verse 24, let me read this here. This is another translation, Ephesians 4:24. It says, put on the new person that you are. Put on this new person that you are. The 20th century New Testament says, clothe yourselves in that new nature. So you are a new person. Now it just says, clothe yourself that way. And how does one do that? You do that with your thinking and attitude. And if you still have an attitude which is conforming to the world, it's hard to put on this new man. You're going to put on fear. You're going to put on worry. You're going to put on other things, but that's not how what God calls you. He's saying, you're brand new now. You have a new nature. Put on that new nature, not the one that you were delivered from, right? That you were brought out of. Don't put that on again.
Amen.
Now, I didn't say it was going to be easy. I didn't say that. But the more you associate, you get around people who think like God and talk like God. You know, that's why I say I was around construction workers. They thought and talked like they did, and I began to adapt that way. Right? But if we get ourselves around people who think God thoughts and talk God thoughts, it'll help us walk this life a little easier. It just does. Let's take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I think I'm going to close with this scripture. But 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4 and 5, some familiar scriptures. It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down what? Imaginations, or you could say reasonings, and every high thing that what? Exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity what? Every thought to the obedience of Christ. So God, you see, this is another thing. We don't think in words, we think in pictures. Everyone, we're made in his image and likeness. We have imaginations. If I said to you, or you come to me and say, how do I get there? I may close my eyes and think, okay, it's 1, 2, 3, ta, 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 ta. We think in pictures. Well, I'll tell you what, if you don't think in pictures, if you don't think you think in pictures, marketing's got it. They blast pictures of a big burger and you got to go get it. Because you're thinking ribs, something. And I saw a picture of it and you're imagining yourself eating that. If you don't think they don't play to your imagination, you got another thing coming. God gave us imaginations, but he said, cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against what? His thoughts, his knowledge. Because imaginations can come in that if I watch something, I can imagine myself fearful. Or I could imagine myself broke. Or I could imagine myself sick. People do it all the time. They just say, get out of the bed. Oh, I just see myself sick in the bed, blah, 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 blah. See yourself well and up. See yourself different than your condition. See, this is where the devil will play. He'll, as they say, run the videotape and have you see yourself a certain way. And what are we supposed to do? If it exalts itself or conflicts with the word of God, what are we supposed to do with it? Cast it down and get rid of it. And you begin to say, oh no, that's not me. I'm well. I'm prosperous. You may have two nickels to rub together and may be broke, but God doesn't call you broke. You know, a lot of people think that people, the way people are when they see them, if they're prosperous and healthy, they think they've always been that way. You know, Brother Hagin talked about when he first started in ministry, he had no car, he hitchhiked to preach the gospel. He had holes in his shoes. He had one suit that he wore out. But he kept speaking the word of God because he kept saying, that's me, that's me. This is not me, that's me. I'm prosperous, I'm blessed, I'm well. But he walked around broke for a long time until the word of God began to work. And so this is the point we're making. Don't give up on the word of God. Let it change your thinking. And don't be so moved when you don't see things changing to just give up and quit. He's without variableness or shadow of turning. He watches over his word to perform it. Amen. So these thoughts, again, when we get our minds changed and renewed, we won't see ourselves the way the world sees us. We'll see ourselves like God sees us. And that's really what we're talking about. What does it say in Philippians? Think on these things. Think on these things. Don't think on the things that are negative. We're too quick. I'll just say this. We're too quick to think negative. We need to be quick to think like God thinks. Amen. And people are. You know, it's just we're too quick to say, well, you know, it just never was going to work out for me anyways. Well, that means, tells me you were thinking on that anyways. You were thinking on that. So when it didn't go right, you're quick to confess that, yeah, you know, it just wasn't going to work for me anyways. What does that mean? No. That means I'm prosperous. You mean to say everything I touch is blessed. If I've sown seed, he says he gives seed to the sower. He does what? What did we just got done reading? He gives seed to the sower, bread for the eater. What does it say? It says, now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiplies your seed sown. Boy, let's see if the stock market can do that. He multiplies my seed sown and increases the fruits of my righteousness. Just because I sowed into the kingdom of God. Oh boy. You see, some of us, when we get our minds thinking correctly, then we will be quick to sow into the kingdom of God because we know God said, I'm going to give seed back to the sower. I'm going to give them bread and multiply their seed sown. Amen. Oh man, I'm quick to do. Now I'm saying, where can I sow? Where can I sow? What opportunities do I have to sow? Because now I'm reaping what I'm sowing. See, this is where we need to, you know, when we get our minds corrected, we begin to see this eternal benefits that we have in God, right? And we have, as we're saying, a righteousness consciousness, right? That's what we have. Amen. So next week we're going to pick up here, and what I'm going to talk about next week is taking the limits off of God. Glory. Taking the limits off. Taking the limits off. Yes. Because I will tell you this, your thinking will put limits on God. How you think will put limits on things. You do that in the world. But more so with God. How you think, your attitudes will put limits on God. So we're going to talk about that next week a little bit. How we can take those limits off. There's a lot in the scripture to talk about. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you. That's eternally changing our thinking. Thank you, Father, that we see ourselves as victorious. We see ourselves as prosperous. We see ourselves as blessed. We see ourselves as overcomers. We see ourselves as divinely healthy in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for it. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I have something here. I like confessions. But I had one here. Oh, yeah. Here it is. Let's say this. I know won't be on the tape. Well, we can still have it on the tape. You'll put it on. Because I think it's good to have. Let's say this. I am a new creature in Christ Jesus.
I am a new creature in Christ Jesus.
I'm going to have you say it again. But sometimes a good way to do this, not be looking around, sometimes quiet, close your eyes, and let it register on your heart. Let it register down here in your heart. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. I have God's very own life and nature in me. The life of God is in me now. I know I have eternal life. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. In Christ, I am redeemed, I am blessed, I am victorious. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. In Christ, I am delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of the Son of God. In Christ, I have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You know, I'm going to say something. I'm going to find this story that Brother Hagin told. I'm looking through my books, and I'm going to find this story. But he shared a story, and I don't remember if it was in his book, a daily devotional I use called Health Food or Faith Food. I'm going to find a story. But he told a story back, and it was a story that was recounted to him. But he said, you know, in all of the things that we deal with today, with people having mental, you know, trouble and trouble, mind trouble, mental issues in various degrees, he said this woman, and he shared this account, this woman was locked up, and at that time we didn't, you know, at that time back in the 40s and 30s and 50s, you didn't have kind of the things available to you today and the treatments. But this woman was locked up in an institution, and she was violent. They had her in a padded cell. She was violent. You wouldn't even go in. She'd tear you apart. And so this person, well, I guess, was a family member, and she was getting a little better, and they wanted to bring her out and bring her home. So they had to build this 8-foot-high fence around the yard and all of this business, right? And beforehand, this person said, no, let me go in and see her. Oh, no, no, you can't go in there. She'll tear you to pieces. He said, no, she won't. I'm a new creature in Christ. This person, the way this story was told, said, I know who I am. I know who I am in Christ. And God is in me. And when I walk in this room, she's not going to touch me. And so this person says, open the door and lock it behind me. Well, that's, you know, in the world, you could say that's gutsy. This person walked in. And that person did not attack them. And they were settled and calm. And the whole story went with this, that this person ended up just coming out of it, snapped. And they were in their right mind. You see, what happened to the man at Gadarene? Jesus delivered him. Why is that something that's just a story in the Bible? That should be happening today.
Amen.
Because the presence of God is in us. And when we walk into a room, who walks into the room?
Jesus.
His Spirit does with us. But you've got to know who you are. If you're thinking fear, well, I ain't going in that room. But if you're walking in the love of God and the power of God and the confidence of God, then he's going in with you. And it's a little different thing. And so the whole story went with this, that this woman came out of that and ended up having her own business, a construction business, a real estate business, and had people working for her.
Power of God, yes.
See? So I'm convinced that our thinking needs to change so that when we walk this earth, we walk with a righteousness consciousness of who we really are in Christ.
Yeah.
That when I walk in a room, it's like T.L. Osborne, when he used to go in Africa and all of the countless crusades, he said, when I step off the plane, royalty has just arrived. He had a consciousness that royalty came with him, that I'm coming out, is God with me and in me. See? So when we walk in to help people, God is with me. He's here to help them. Not just me. He's thinking through me. He's working through me. He's operating through me to help people. See? And that's where our thinking, we're not just struggling through life. You may be at this point, but when you get our minds changed and renewed, the power of God will begin to change, literally change our thinking. It'll change us. Supernaturally. You know, it's not like this. No, it's not that. No. The supernatural power of God will begin to literally change us and transform us. And those people that have been struggling, it'll deliver them. But you're going to have to do what? Put this new man on. How do we do that? We have to speak it and say it. We've got to, even through the struggles and trials, we've got to say, I'm a new creature in Christ. I'm brand new. My thinking is changing. And I thank you that the power of God's working in me, changing me, impacting my thinking. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. Well, that's enough for today. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Have a great week, and remember, God is for you. He loves you. He's concerned about you. He's touched, as the scripture says, touched with the feelings of our weaknesses. But don't worry about the things in life. Doesn't mean you're not concerned. Doesn't mean that you're not even responsible. You are responsible. But you can't make certain things happen in your life. He brings those things to pass. And he opens doors that no man can open. And he closes doors that no man can close. So God will work for us if we approach him, reach out to him, ask him for assistance. He'll help us. Amen. Glory to God.